This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And boy, oh boy, do we have a story to tell you about two books. And I am so thrilled. Here in the studio, I have Carol J. Perry, right where she was sitting, oh my goodness, over nine years ago, for her first book. And she is now up to number 13. And for Carol J. Perry, who was born on Halloween Eve, number 13 is a lucky one because she is getting rave reviews for this book. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Patsy. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Good morning. Well, I'm holding up to the camera the back of this wonderful magazine called Halloween Treats. And my goodness, one of your books is... There, yeah. It's right there, and that's really exciting. And then you have the other book out today, which we are going to be talking about, and that's really exciting. So we're going to be talking about Now You See It in a minute. And meanwhile, we have somebody on the line. She's across the border. So this is an international program today, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper again, and she can come back anytime she wants, Hannah Mary McKinnon, also known as Holly Cassidy. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. Hi, Carol. How are you both?
Oh, hi, Holly. I'm so glad to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Patsy. It's such a delight to be here again.
Well, I love your other name, Holly. I think that's so cool. And, you know, today we're talking to Carol J. Perry. She was, as I said, she was born on Halloween Eve. So her big series is Witch City Mysteries. And you have for the holidays, for Christmas, and so the release is today, getting everybody in the Christmas mood. We always like to get these holidays in early. And this one is called The Christmas Wager.
That's right. Yep. It's my first rom-com. Well, it's my second romantic comedy, but my first under the brand new pseudonym Holly Cassidy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a beautiful cover, and it's a wonderful story. So this is always so exciting. We, you know, it's nice always to have a holiday book. And so with this one, Carol, did you look at the cover? It's really cool, isn't it?
I not only looked at the cover, I read a little bit about it, and I'm now following the author.
Oh.
I so admire the romance writer. I attempted it myself, and I found I'm a better mystery writer than I am a romance writer. So I shall read yours for inspiration, and I'm very glad to meet you on the air.
Oh, well, likewise. I was looking at your book too, and wow, you've been pretty prolific, Carol.
It'll be in the Witch City series will be 10 years old next September. We'll have to have a birthday party for our Patsy.
That's right.
And my other series is the Haunted Haven series, and I have just turned in book 3 in that one, and that one takes place in Florida. It's quite a different ambiance, but a mystery and a little romance.
And Carol was my first in-studio guest.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
That's 9.5 years ago, so it's really exciting. And she's done a lot in those years, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. But I wanted to talk today. Let's talk about The Christmas Wager. I thought the premise was so cute. It's exactly the kind of thing I love. So tell us the story behind that one.
Sure, with pleasure. So it's a dual narrative, two point of view characters. And the story is Bella, a real estate hotshot who's living in L.A., who's tasked with buying the building that houses an old and failing Christmas store called Always Noel in the sleepy little town of Maple Falls in Colorado. And she thinks, that's going to be easy. No problem. I can do that in my sleep. But when she gets there, she gets more than she bargained for in the shape of the shop owner's handsome, hunky electrician, Jesse, who tries to thwart her plans, and they end up in the Christmas Wager, which involves the Maple Falls annual holiday game. So, yeah, lots of fun and mayhem and Christmas cheer.
I thought the premise is great, and I love the idea of the wager and that they're going to have to battle it out.
Yeah. Yes, they do. They battle it out, and the annual Maple Falls holiday games are organized by the seniors club called the Meriatrix, and their fearless leader, Gladys, who probably is a thriller lover because she's got a bit of a twisted mind.
This was a very original, cute meet. Too. I loved the competition.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun to do. It really was. It was fun to imagine these feats out in the snow of, you know, there's baking competitions and a competition called Dead Snowman, where they have to basically decapitate snowmen with axes throwing at. It's quite ridiculous, but that's the whole fun. You know, you get to be a bit. I don't know. I don't want to say silly because I don't want to make it sound ridiculous, but you just get to have some fun. And it was very different to writing thrillers, that's for sure.
Well, of course, you've been here for your thrillers and mm-hmm. The Revenge List. I must tell you, that is one of the books that I get the most comments from my listeners. They love that. As you know, I love also lists. And so it just played into the listener's idea of, you know, something that everybody thought about, a revenge list.
Hopefully it doesn't act upon, Patsy, really.
Yes, but they do love reading the book. And so that one was, I know it was a great success. And I know that with the Christmas Wager, you're getting a lot of great reviews.
Yeah, right now on Goodreads, it's my best rated book, which is lovely. And it really was a joy to write. It was fun. It was light. It was something, you know, in between my thrillers, because they seem to be getting darker and darker with each one that I write. Next year's is particularly dark, so it's nice to have that balance. And I'm thrilled how it's landing. It's fantastic.
Well, and of course you're up there in Canada.
Yes.
How's the weather up there?
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. It's couple of clouds in the sky, but it's lovely temperatures. The trees are turning, so it's a beautiful autumnal day. How about down there?
Well, we've had a hot, hot summer, haven't we?
We have, yes. And today it's a little cooler, but it's kind of fake fall. You know, it's going to be 90 again tomorrow.
Well, it's a little cooler because this is usually happens when Carol comes to the studio. For some strange reason, the first time she came, every time, we get a storm. I mean, now, you know, it's really sort of, you know, the first time when it was absolutely gorgeous weather, and then she's coming to the studio, and suddenly we have thunderstorms and lightning, and the sky goes dark, and we're here to talk about Witch City Mysteries. And it was like, it was very ominous.
That is odd.
It is. And so today, it was also very sunny on my way up, and now it's sort of all overcast, and I'm waiting for the thunder and lightning to strike.
So, just wait a minute. It's coming.
It's coming. Because she has a way with this Witch City Mystery series that, can you believe, up to 13 and number 13 in 10 years. That's pretty good,
incredible.
Huh?
That's prolific. I'm seriously impressed.
And she's got quite a, I can say this is, you know, it's always very inspirational when an author starts writing later in life and can accomplish so much. So
you're going to tell about my birthday.
Well, I don't know if you want to.
Go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead.
So how old are you going to be?
Be the good Lord willing. Next month, I will be 90.
90 years old on Halloween Eve. She was born on Halloween Eve.
In Salem.
In Salem, Massachusetts. Now, could anything be more perfect?
And I don't look 90.
No, she doesn't. She looks gorgeous.
I saw the pictures. I concur.
You pick your parents really carefully.
Well, congratulations on your upcoming birthday. That's such
a
milestone.
It's exciting. I can hardly believe it myself. But my grandchildren have decided I needed a 90th birthday party. So I'm inviting any local listeners and friends of Patsy. It's going to be October 28th at Walsingham Park, people, in shelter number 8 from noon to 3. There will be food and cake. And Patsy said you can let her know if you're coming, so I'll be sure to have a big cake.
Yeah, and you can fly down, too.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, you know, it's not quite cold enough for you snowbirds to start heading down here, but I'm so happy that, you know, after we went through the pandemic and we had no snowbirds, and our economy was terrible because you Canadians spend a lot of money when you come down.
Yes, that's very true. Yes, we do. It's been a while since I've been, 2019, I think, when we met, actually, Patsy, at BoucherCon. That was where we met. That was the last time I've been. So I'll have to put it on the list again.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's hard to believe that it's almost 2024. After we went through those pandemic-y years that sort of messed us all up.
It
really did. First it was Blur's Day, then it was Blur's Week, and then it's Blur's Year.
So were you writing this new book during the pandemic or about that time, huh?
The Christmas one?
Yeah, the Christmas one.
Yeah, I wrote it last year, actually. Yes, last year. And so we were coming towards kind of the tail end of-ish, I guess. But I think it was really because of the pandemic, because I was home so much and really not doing anything, that I wrote 4 books in the last 2 years because, you know, what else was I going to do?
It's hard enough to go out in Canada in the cold weather, and then on top of it, when you're in pandemic-y mode and you have to wear a mask.
Exactly. Yeah, it just seemed to work to think, okay, well, can't really do much else. I'll just sit home at work and work. I've got ideas. Let's go.
So with the new characters, tell us a little bit about the new characters, because it's really a little bit more information about them, because I thought the idea of a real estate person going out to buy a building, you know, it is. I can see how she was thinking, yeah, this is a real easy thing.
Yeah. So Bella's in her late 20s, and she's very ambitious. She's very driven. Originally from Canada, from a very tiny town that I made up, and she's done with tiny towns. She's not a big fan of Christmas. Her dad walked out on her and her mum when she was 10, 3 weeks before Christmas. So it's not really her favorite time of year, and she doesn't like tiny towns. So when her boss gives her this assignment, you know, go to Maple Falls and get me this building for a steal, and if you do, you get a promotion and you get a big bonus. She's intrigued and excited, but it's a tiny town. But she's really confident. Yeah, I can pull this off. You know, the owner's, the shop's failing. The owner's motivated to sell. I got this. So dare I say, she's a little bit cocky, getting there, thinking that she can pull this off, and you know, and be on a plane the same evening or maybe the next day, until she meets Jesse. So Jesse's different to her in the sense that he loves Christmas. It's his favorite thing. He has a dog called Buddy from Elf, and he loves Christmas. He loves his small town. So they really are quite different. But there are a lot of similarities with them too. So funnily enough, he's an electrician, and when I started writing the book, I said to my husband, who's an electrician, I'm going to make Jesse a hunky electrician just like you. And he looked at me and he started laughing. He said, yeah, whatever, stop it. And I did. So there's the inside scoop on Jesse for you.
Oh, that's nice. I think husbands appreciate that kind of a comment.
Yes, I think so. I'll be interested to see what he thinks when he reads it.
Well, luckily it wasn't a cozy mystery and you would kill him off then.
No, definitely not.
Carol goes around killing a lot of people off. Every book she has to kill at least one person.
It's a rule, I have to. But yes. I did name my handsome detective hero after my son-in-law, Peter Mondello, who is actually a Gloucester fisherman. And his daughters are getting a big kick out of Daddy being the handsome detective.
That's so fun. That that must be so. And don't you just love these insider info bits that you can share?
Yeah, I think I love it. I always like when an author will say, well, you know, that really is my daughter I'm writing about. Well, I mean, C.J. Box does that. Now, he has three daughters, so he combines them all into one. He didn't want to fill up his book with daughters. But, you know, because he's a very, you know, when I first saw him, he's, you know, wears a cowboy hat and very macho, and his books are considered sort of, you know, very tough. But boy, oh boy, one of the reasons I think his books are so successful is that he has this daughter who, you know, softens up the story a little bit. And so, yeah, it's great when there's a inside info.
Yeah, I love those stories. I love to hear authors tell little secret things like that. It's fun.
Yeah, actually. So you know, when you're writing, and now that everything is sort of calmed down, are you doing any, how are you doing your promotions for books nowadays?
Carol?
Yeah, yeah. You.
Let me take this one.
No. Well, Carol just did a big convention here.
I did. I went to the NINC, Novelist Incorporated, convention in St. Pete Beach, and it was just wonderful. It's my third one, and they just get better and better. So I am all inspired and full of inspiration and improvements. And as for publicity, Kensington, my publisher, just does an amazing job of publicizing me and my books, magazine pages, and they've advertised in Ellery Queen magazine, and they arrange Zoom meetings, and I'm in the back cover of Women's World Celebrate in every supermarket in the world, I think, right now. And it's just been a wonderful adventure to have my books recognized and my words appreciated, and being acquainted with other writers. It's just it's a wonderful life.
It is. I mean, that's how we met at BoucherCon, and I remember just being so thrilled. Of course, you were at BoucherCon too, mm-hmm. Carol and Hannah. Well, now, today you are Holly Cassidy. Where'd you come up with that name, Cassidy? Is that...
It was funny because I was trying to go for a name with the initials HMM, you know, Hannah Mary McKinnon. So I think I floated something like Holly Mae Morgan or something like that, so I could maybe try and tie it in with the logo or branding or whatever. But we decided, no, it would be better if we just had a two-word name, as it were, you know, first name, last name, not with a middle name. And I came up with the Holly, and Putnam, Penguin Random House, my publishers, came up with Cassidy. And I loved it because Holly, you know, very Christmassy, very festive. Cassidy actually means curly-headed, and if you see my author photo, you'll see why that works. And then HC is Happy Christmas. So it was just perfect, and I loved it.
It's a great name. I thought it was a great name. So are you doing any events? Do you come down to the States sometimes to promote your books?
Not in person. Not for the past few years. No, I do a lot of online stuff actually. And what I find quite different with a Christmas book release versus a thriller book release is that there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on for the next couple of months, right up until Christmas. Whereas with a thriller, it would be there's a lot going on, say, in pub months, and then the few weeks after, and then it tapers off. But with the holiday books, actually, it's going to be ramping up towards Christmas, because some people aren't quite ready to read a Christmas book just yet. You know, we have of course, other holidays in between and whatnot, you know, Halloween being one of them. So I do have some online events that are going on. If anyone wants to see what I'm up to, then that's on hollycassidyauthor.com.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So you have your own website for that, hollycassidy.com.
No, hollycassidyauthor.com.
Hollycassidyauthor.com.
Yeah.
Okay. And the name of the book is The Christmas Wager. It's a wonderful premise. I think a great idea. And people, you can get this book and discover some of the challenges that Holly came out with, which is always so much fun when you're an author and you have to come out with really creative things. I have a feeling that everybody's going to really enjoy finding out what exactly the challenges are.
Thank you. I hope so.
Okay. Well, today is the release date, so everybody, you can get it. It's online, and I'm so happy that you could join us today, and we can talk about this book, The Christmas Wager. And when's the next book coming out? Next thriller?
So the next thriller will be July 2024. It's called Only One Survives. And it's about the rise and violent demise of the all-female pop rock group called The Bittersweet.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that one. So you keep busy. I know, you know, it's going to get cold up there in Ontario, and it's going to have quite a few months of snow.
Yeah.
So you'll be writing a lot more, and it's really always so much fun to talk to you. And everybody, get this book. It's called The Christmas Wager by Holly Cassidy, and you will love it. And thank you again for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you. It was lovely to meet you, Carol.
Thank you, Holly. I'll be looking forward to reading your book.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. All right. Holly is so sweet. Well, Holly, Hannah, absolutely adorable. We're going to play a book buzz, and this is from our friend, Bria Burton, and it's so exciting. Bria is going to, not only, she's going to be here on Thursday with me in the studio, because we're going to be talking about another book, and then next week she's taking over on Thursday. She's going to be the guest host for the whole day.
I love this studio. You know, this is, we're on a round table. And out in the corridor is the best collection of vintage radios.
Isn't that beautiful?
This is just a fun place to be.
It is. And, of course, the nicest thing is we have Big Ed there. In the control room, and with his smiley face.
Yeah.
And so we're always so happy. So we'll go ahead and play Bria Burton's latest book buzz.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2022 science fiction graphic novel, Overmind by John De La Rose, with out-of-this-world artwork by Ms. Crimson. This crowd-funded project is available in print and ebook with a variety of variant cover art. Now, let's download the book buzz. Special Agent Ayla Rin of Terra Prime has never failed an assignment. Even when space pirates interrupt what should have been an easy hack and download, the jetpack-slinging agent prides herself in the ability to maneuver her way out of any tight spot. However, her newest undercover assignment in a rebellious backwater colony would be better suited to the Space Marines, thanks to budget cuts in the Imperial fleet. She's on her own, without backup, on Londar 4 to investigate a planet-wide addiction to an immersive virtual reality run by a rogue artificial intelligence. When Agent Rin is captured, she's in a fight for her sanity as the hive-like AI intends to indoctrinate every human jacked into the network. With artwork in a style reminiscent of classic pulp-era comics that pop off the page, Overmind is a sci-fi thriller readers won't be able to put down. The graphic novel was fully funded in under 2 hours, and there's a sequel on the way. Author John De La Rose is an award-winning comic creator with 17 successful crowdfunds for his comics. He's been working in the field since 2012 and is known as the leading Hispanic voice in science fiction. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I am here in the studio with Carol J. Perry, and we are celebrating the release of two books. One book was released in August, and the second book is released today, and it is called Now You See It, and it is book number 13 in her Witch City Mystery series. Whoa, Carol, you've been a busy girl.
I have. Last year I wrote two books. And a novella. The novella is in the Halloween three-author book called Halloween Cupcake Murders. And then I wrote one in my Haunted Haven series that'll be out next spring. And also, Now You See It, the one that's being released today.
Wow.
Release day is so exciting.
Well, it is. It is. And I always tell people, Carol does 1,000 words a day. People say, how could she do that?
So, well, some days I don't do 1,000 words, but it's about the time. I'm working on book 14 now. To give you a little preview, it's called Death Scene. And in it, there's a movie being made in Salem. And somebody important to the movie has to be murdered. And one of the famous houses in Salem, the Witch House, is involved and is even shown on the cover of the book. And I will send, I have already sent you the cover. The cover is done before the writer has finished writing the book, by the way.
And speaking of covers, Kensington does you the best for you.
Oh, I know. I have been so blessed with the same artist has done all of the books in the Witch City series, and they are just so Salem.
Oh, they are. Yeah. They capture everything.
And of course, one of the heroes in my book is a large yellow cat named Orion. And Orion is always on. Orion says that the bigger the cat on the cover, the better the book.
And he's pretty big on this one. Yeah.
Now, in Now You See It, of course, it is the Witch City series, named for the city itself, not because my books are particularly populated with witches. They aren't. There's one very special witch named River North, who is a friend of my heroine. But in this book, I got to use a lot of Salem history that seemed very important to me. When I was a kid, and before we bewitched made witches cool, we referred to it as the witchcraft delusion, and Salem was righteously ashamed of its past of killing innocent people. And it wasn't until Bewitched became popular that he began to make light of it. But we studied, when I was a kid, the great shipping history of Salem. Salem was, to some extent, is a maritime city. And at one time, Salem was the richest city in America because of the sea trade that they went to China, they went to India, they sailed all over the world and brought back wonderful things and learned new things and explored. So I was able to give my heroine, Lee Barrett, who is usually a reporter on a TV station called WICH-TV. Salem does not have such a station, but boy, they should.
They should, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Lee Lee is assigned by her boss, Bruce Stone, who likes his employees to wear many, major documentary videographers. And she has come up with an idea, or the city has come up with an idea for a museum that will be a traveling show. It will be in Salem, it will go to Newport, it will go to Mystic, it will go to other famous seaport cities. So I got to use some of the Salem history. I love research. I would be researching a vessel. And when you do research, Patsy, you know this. Oh. You get so sidetracked. Oh, this is a shiny object over here.
I love research.
And you've wandered off into learning some more new things that either you really didn't need to know or, oh, I can use that in the book.
Yeah.
So, and now you see it. I, of course, I have to have a murder because that's the rules in writing a cozy mystery. And I think I've got a good one. I think you're going to, as much as one can like a murder,
yeah,
I think you're going to find it interesting. We have a body under a pile of fall leaves.
Yeah, so that's a great start.
And my witch friend, River North, is instrumental in solving it. And Aunt Ibby, who is a favorite character, my husband says, you know, you've got to write a series and make Aunt Ibby be the main character. No, wait a minute. I'm not through with Lee and Pete yet. But Aunt Ibby has some girlfriends who have become regulars, and they're interested in helping to solve the mystery. And, of course, this clairvoyant, mysterious cat, Orion, is always helpful. And River North, the witch friend, contributes to it. And as your previous Holly was saying, kind of just get into it and learn more about your characters. And I'm still having the mental image of beheading the snowman with axes for her book. I love that kind of thing.
That's good.
It's fun being an author. And as when you interviewed Mary Higgins Clark a long time ago, and she said, you said, do you really enjoy writing? And she said, I enjoy having written. And that's it. It's such a relief when it's done and when the release day comes and there's nothing you can mess with it about. It's done and it's in. And blessedly, the reviews before publication have been very good on this one. So I'm really encouraged that the sales will match the reviews.
And it got 5 stars from my sister, Natalie, who is known as a connoisseur of
Absolutely.
Cozy mysteries. And she loved this book. And I will tell you, because there is a lot of research that you put into it, she found it so intriguing. All of the history of Salem. Of course, she knew about this because having read so much about China, Hawaii, all of these places, India, she knew already that many of the ships came from Salem.
Yes.
So that, I mean, this was already written about in other books.
Yes.
And so she knew about it. And when she got this book, she said, oh my goodness, this is true. And I know she was going to the encyclopedia, checking. Yep, did she get that right? and she got lost too. I mean, she actually, with the book, then she spent like a couple of days researching your research.
You know, it's surprising how many readers do that, and you have to be really careful not to make mistakes because you, like I had mentioned in one of the earlier books, a forsythia bush, and I immediately got at least 3 comments. They don't grow in March. They won't bloom until whatever it was. And I also have to be careful. Aunt Ibby serves wine with a lot of her meals. And I'm not the wine expert that Aunt Ibby is supposed to be. And I got one on, I think it was book 12, and they said, you would not serve that chilled. Oh, now I'm going to have to research the darn wine before I pick one to go with the meal. So, yeah, readers are very perceptive, and it's a good thing they are. And I love that about it.
And speaking of Aunt Ibby does steal the show often. And when you're talking about her friends, my sister thinks she's Aunt Ibby's best friend. I mean, she's like talking to Aunt Ibby. I told you this, that in the middle of the night, She's
Ooh,
telling.
Good.
I mean, in the middle of the night, she woke up once, and I mean, she knew who the actress was who should play Aunt Ibby. She said, she woke up in the middle of the night. I heard her, and I go in there and I say, "What, you know?" What, yeah. She said, "I'm talking to Aunt Ibby." And I thought, oh, you should not
dreaming.
You should not gaga, I hope. And she said, no, I just saw her on television. I said,
oh, that actress.
And she saw an actress yeah. that she thought should play Aunt Ibby in your miniseries. And she, I mean, she's like, check out, go to the TV guide. I said, we don't have TV guides anymore. I don't know how to find out what movie you were watching.
Oh, that's
but,
funny.
I mean, this yeah. is like 4 o'clock in the morning. And she's sure.
Yeah, late.
Because I think you sometimes wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, I do. And, yeah. And oh, sure. And I, when I was at the NINC conference, which was at the Trade Winds, which, by the way, is a lovely hotel.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
just wonderful. Service and staff and everything.
Oh,
was perfect.
It's one of my favorite in St. Petersburg.
Perfect.
Yeah, St. Pete Beach.
And but I woke up in the middle of the night because I had been concerned about something that I'm working on in book 14, and there was a plot point I needed, and I thought of it in the middle of the night, got up and wrote it down, because sometimes those middle of the night things run away. And so yeah, you get up and you think of it. And now my image, and for those who haven't read the books yet, Aunt Ibby is, she admits to 60-something, we don't know how old she is. She still has red hair and intends to have it for the rest of her life, no matter how. And she is very techie. I am not, but Aunt Ibby has all the latest.
Well, she was a librarian.
She was a research librarian, and she still occasionally helps out at the library and trains staff. It's very handy to have a techie who has all the latest. She has a wonderful office. I can just see her office is going to, with the cherry wood furniture, and then all of every doodad and gadget there is there. And of course, my heroine uses that to advantage. I have to check with grandchildren to make sure Aunt Ibby is right. And that sort of thing. But I see Sharon Gless, who is kind of a glamorous 60-something, very well-dressed, very smart. And I
exactly.
see Sharon Gless.
Yeah,
as I
agree. I agree.
Yeah.
And speaking of cherry wood furniture, one of the things that I love, and I think so many of the other listeners who have read your books, and Natalie certainly has mentioned, how you describe furniture in general, how you take us into the rooms that you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
You are really great at that. So we actually visualize them. And one of the reasons is you have a little bit of background in furniture.
I do. I never set out to be a fiction writer. I was a nonfiction writer for years. I started out as an ad copy writer. And then for a long time, I wrote for many antiques and collectibles magazines about various antiquities. My first job is when I was like 12 was as a guide at the Ropes Memorial Mansion in Salem, Massachusetts, which is now the Hocus Pocus House. But I learned about very good furniture there. And then later on I became really interested in vintage baby boomer kind of furniture. So I learned a lot about that. So all of my, in both series, my heroines have, for instance, Lee has something I really want, and it's a complete Lucite kitchen set. I saw the tables and 4 chairs, all of clear Lucite. I saw it in an antique shop in Gainesville and wanted it, but oh my dear, I couldn't afford even one of the chairs. But so I gave it to Lee, and Maureen, in my Haunted Haven series, has inherited an old inn full of Haywood Wakefield furniture. So she has that. And I love sharing my desires in furnishings. And so I'm able to describe them well.
You definitely do. And I think that's part of the fun of,
oh, it is.
You know, of having these details that you just put in there so easily. And because you know it.
I know it, yeah. And having written nonfiction for so long, I managed to to sneak in a lot of things that I learned while I was writing. I once did a story on the red-cockaded woodpecker, which I know much more about the red-cockaded woodpecker than anybody needs to know, but it was a very successful article. It was reprinted in several magazines. So how can I use that? Well, in the book I'm currently working, I managed to work in that little elusive little bird.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's why I think your books stand out. That's why you got for Haunted Haven. Book one, you got a publisher starred review.
I did.
Which was so impressive. And it's people really, you have to know, it's very coveted. And even famous authors, I know a few famous authors who have never gotten a Publishers Weekly starred review. I mean, and they want that. They really want it.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to some and they really, really want, and they haven't gotten it.
I didn't realize how great it was until Patsy told me about some people who don't have it.
Oh, yeah. So it was absolutely, people who have, you know, been writing for 30 years and they've written a lot of books, best-selling books, but they haven't gotten that coveted. And when I say cover, they really want that. So you did it in book one, and that was pretty nifty.
Yeah, and you always encourage people who want to write, and I encourage people who want to write. Just do it. I have a job, I don't have time. Yes, you do. If you want one page a day for a year,
yeah, you got
that's the
nice,
first draft
nice,
of a whole novel.
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in November, we have NaNoWriMo coming up. And
yeah,
years ago, my goddaughter, Kanisha, convinced me to do it. And, you know, November was busy for me because of Thanksgiving. So I didn't actually have 30 days. I had 25 days because I had to get ready for Thanksgiving. And you write 50,000 words in a month. And just to prove to yourself that you can do it. If you set your mind to it, you can do anything. And you certainly, in 9.5 years, my goodness, we're up to book 13. And plus the third, plus this novella that you've done with two of your friends. So tell us about, because it's Halloween coming up, Halloween Cupcake Murder. Tell us about this one.
That was interesting. The publisher suggested this. They have done it with other writers, but they select three Kensington writers within a genre. We're all cozy writers. And they asked us each to write a story on a given theme, and the assigned theme was Halloween Cupcake Murder. So that's all we had. We didn't know each other. We had not read each other's, I happen to have read some of Carlene's, but Carlene O'Connor, Liz Ireland, and I were given this assignment. And the novella is about 35,000 words, which is about the third the length of a regular cozy, which is usually around 80,000. And so we each, only knowing that it had to be about Halloween, it had to be about cupcakes, and it had to be a murder. And we each took it in a different direction when I finally, and you don't know what the others are writing until the book is out. It's my first hardcover book, by the way. It's out in hardcover. And because Carlene is the prominent one. She sells more books than I do. But so the cover says, in big letters, Carly O'Connor, and then Liz Ireland and Carol J. Perry underneath it. But we all had equal space. And one of the things I did, which I think, because I always include recipes in my Witch City Mysteries, because I need to be cooks a lot and people are interested in recipes. So in my novella, I included a recipe for Halloween cupcakes. And nobody else did. And that's how it wound up on the back cover of the Halloween issue of Women's World, because they largely print recipes, and there was Ina B's recipe right at the top of the page, which was just luck.
And it is. It's when, if you're going through the grocery store, you will see this, and it is Halloween treats, and it is a wonderful.
It's full of treats.
I found about
Natalie's going to make you cook.
Oh yeah, no. That's for sure. She loves the recipes, and so with you, and also with Rita Moreau.
Rita.
She'll say, you have to make that. I need to test it. So she'll come out with this, and I will have to make this also. Aunt Ibby's easy recipe for triple layer Halloween cupcakes, and I love the idea.
It's And of course, Woman's World is, I got all of my, because I went out and bought $60 worth of this magazine for all my daughters and friends.
Yeah.
And it's in Publix. And my niece up in Massachusetts says Market Basket has it. So I'm sure whatever you're...
All the grocery stores will have it right there at the checkout.
Yeah.
And they do that to entice you, and the covers are always so good. I mean, you want to buy it even though you're not going to do anything for Halloween, but you want to buy it. Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, great ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are a few there that I know I'm going to do. I'm just going to do them for people because I have
of course.
Now that I've seen them, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. And that you're on the back, you know, that's a big thing to be on the back cover.
What a surprise.
What a joy.
That is
a joy.
Oh, I wanted to tell you that one of the events I went to at NINC was about the joy, keeping your joy in writing. So I went to it just because I wanted to tell you about it. And I have my notes, and I'll give you the name of the person who presented it, because it was all, because some people do lose their joy or have disappointment in the writing journey about rejections and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that happens, but you have to keep it up.
Yeah, the path back to joy, and the speaker was Sarah with two R's, Cannon. Sarah Cannon. She's a very successful indie author.
Well, I'm going to invite Sarah. Anybody
who
likes joy? Yeah,
do it. She wrote Heart Breathing.
Okay. I'm going to invite her, and she'll be on here.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, you have found
the joy.
You certainly have found the joy on paper that I talk about.
Yes, yes. This disappointment, no doubt.
Yeah, sure.
And this, the days when you've written, and then you look at it one day and say, this doesn't work, and you delete. But fortunately, Patsy, I don't know if I told you this, I never did learn to type. I never took typing in school. So I still have to look at the keys, which makes me very slow, which means I edit as I go along because I'm so slow that I will spend, I don't know, 10 minutes on a sentence just fooling around with it to get it right.
So then it's right, and then you don't have to do too much.
I don't have to do lots and lots.
Well, that's what Mary Higgins Clark, at the end, she told me in the beginning, of course, there would be times when she'd have to change things, fix things. Mm-hmm. But by the last, I don't know, 10 books or so, she said every chapter, she'd finish a chapter, it would be exactly as she wanted it. She'd go on to the next chapter, and by the end of the book, that was it.
Yep.
And she could send it in, and the editor there would say, "Oh, it's perfect, Mary." And Mary would say, "Yeah, I know it. I did it."
I when I turn mine in, it's pretty much the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But that's from being slow and deliberate.
Yeah.
And as she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss her.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
I love you.
There are days, and I have this with certain books that I just have them. I have some of her books on my table nearby, and I'll just pick it up, and it's like an old friend. I just loved her so much, and she was so good.
Yeah.
So good to me, and I'll never forget the day that the first time she was on, and she was talking, and she just gave me her home address on air, and by the time I got home, she contacted me. She said, "I forgot I was on the radio.
Oh,
can you take that out?"
Yeah.
I said, "I'll take that out."
Yeah, of course.
Oh my goodness, I gave my. So after that, once I got a private call from her, and then I had her number, and so we talked sometime off the air.
It's something else. You have to invite me back because something else wonderful happened. I'll try to tell it fast because I know we're almost out of time. I've told you before that what set me on my writing path was two books I read back to back in the seventh grade. I knew I wanted to be in advertising. I read A Star for Ginny, which was Phyllis Whitney's second book. And in that book, Ginny got a job with an advertising agency as an artist. And the second book was called Natalie Enters Advertising. For years, I looked for that book. And just recently, a woman who was interviewing me for... I'll think of the name of the magazine in a minute. But she said, "Is this the book you're looking for?" And it was Nathalie, N-A-T-H. And it was the book. And I now own the original hardcover copies of both The Star for Ginny and Nathalie Enters Advertising.
So that's such an example of what books can do, and that's why it's so important that you encourage young people mm-hmm. to read. And this is one of course, I was reading so early in my life. People ask me, how did you start? And I actually can't remember not reading. Yeah. I was reading at two. I know I was reading words at two. And like Beatrix Potter, I was reading entire books by the time I was three. And at the age of five, I was reading my mother's Perry Mason. She loved Perry Mason books, the paperbacks. And at five, I read my first one. You have to give kids books. You have to make them available. There's no excuse for it. And you have to take them off of these devices because that is not going to inspire them.
Oh, it's going to kill. It's going to be like smoking was to our generation.
It is.
They'll figure it out that it's killing you.
Yeah, you have to take the kids outside under a tree with a book. Take them to the botanical gardens. Take them to the mountain. Take them out and take away those.
And you writers for children, you influence lives.
Yes. Oh, you do.
Yes.
You do.
Very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were all inspired by books when we were kids.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I read Little Women. I mean, even today, it thrills me when I think about it.
In my new Haunted Haven book, this is something it hasn't come out yet, but there are four kittens named Beth, Joe, Amy.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.
You know, I love my cats.
I know you do. And of course, we love Orion. Orion is the best cat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely wonderful. And has his own fan base.
He does, and he has his own newsletter.
That's right. I was going to say he writes his own newsletter.
Yeah.
Because you're too busy.
That's right.
You're a busy person.
He types even more slowly than I do.
And he's going to come out with a newsletter, I think, in the coming weeks. Because we have to talk about the birthday.
Yeah.
Again, remind everybody when it is.
My birthday party is at Walsingham Park in number 8, October 28th, from noon to 3. And if you've got kids, bring them. We have bounce houses for the kids.
Whoa!
And we have food to eat, and we have cupcakes, and we also have a gluten-free birthday cake.
Because I'm gluten-free. You're gluten-free now. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Carol J. Perry, for being here on Joy on Paper. Her new book is out today. Now You See It. And hold it up to the camera. People get it. It's going to be wonderful. And then, of course, also for Halloween, you want to get the Carlene O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Liz Ireland, Carol J. Perry, Halloween Cupcake Murder. And get this magazine, and you have the recipe on the back. Anyway, thank you so much, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. You got us all organized, and he saluted me. He saluted Carol. I should have been a general, and you could have been an admiral, because you come from a seafaring.
I do.
Okay. Bye-bye now, everybody. Say something nice to somebody. Bye-bye.